Amen. 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 Well, it is definitely good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I'm going to tell you folks something. Listen, God's good. No. You still don't get it. God's good. Amen. Boy, I got to thinking about it. Do you realize? We always talk about it. You know, I'm thankful for what the Lord done. He died on Calvary for me. Do you realize that before the death, everything that happened was for me? Man, I get to thinking about how the Bible says that they plucked his beard. Every hair, now I know they didn't do it individually, but every hair that was pulled from the face of my Jesus was done for me. What I'm saying is every pain and every anguish that Jesus went through, it wasn't just the death, though it was, but there was much more to it than that. Every pain and anguish. When that soldier pierced his side, he did that for me. Amen. Jesus suffered that for me. When they mocked him, listen, now I know what the Bible tells us, but we have no idea really what happened that day. We don't. I don't believe God recorded, had it all recorded of everything that took place at Calvary. I do not. But every gesture that was made toward him while he was on that cross, he did it for me. Amen. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. When I realize what all he went through for me, it's hard for me to just sit still when somebody's just singing about my Jesus. Listen to me. It has nothing to do with being from down south. It has nothing to do with being a preacher. It has to do with being saved.
Amen. Amen.
I've heard all kinds of excuses for not praising God, my friend, but when you come down to it, there ain't one.
Come on. Amen.
I'm serious, folks. You say, boy, you know, I would like to do that. Man, I see folks shout. I see folks holler, throw their hands up in the air. I'd like to do that. All you got to do is do it. You say, well, how you do it? Well, you mean you don't know how to throw your hands up in the air? Hey, listen. Just pretend it's a regular day in life and you're facing troubles and trials and heartaches. And usually we do this. I just quit. Huh? Well, that's the same way you praise the Lord. I just quit trying. Lord, I'm turning it all over to you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because isn't that a surrender?
Amen.
Amen. That's what we need to do. We need to learn. Listen to me. I wouldn't be good at one of these Baptist meetings teaching us why I'm a Baptist. But shouldn't we as Christians learn how to praise the Lord? Shouldn't we worship Him? Shouldn't we praise Him tonight? I mean, shouldn't we lose a little bit of self-control?
Yes, sir. Amen.
We do it at a stinking ball game or anything else.
Amen.
We'll hoop and holler and make a fool out of ourselves at some of these worldly things that goes on. And we come to the house of God, barely get a amen. We got to say amen. Amen. I said amen. We got to do that before we ever get an amen out of us. That just means I agree. So be it. Amen. I'm with you. Hallelujah. That's what it means. Looks like that'd be the easiest thing to get flowing. I mean, even here in Indiana. Amen. I'm serious. That ought to be an easy thing. As a matter of fact, it ought to be a natural thing for us Christians. I find that it's getting more unnatural all the time to get Christians to praise the Lord. That ought to be a natural thing for a child of God. Amen? Boy, you know what? Y'all know my testimony. My dad died when I was 5. I never had an earthly father that I can remember. But boy, I do know this. I like it when my children praise me. Amen? Boy, just here a while back, March the 27th of this year, when I was celebrating my spiritual birthday, David texts me. David texts me first, and he texts me, and he says, he starts giving my testimony in a text. He said, March the 27th of 1969, Brother D.A. Emerson said, "Do you want to?" And Dad, you said yes. Amen. Boy, you know what? Listen to me. Then Paul texted me. And he began to talk about my spiritual birthday. And he said, Dad, you're my hero. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that made me so tickled. I mean, I was just having myself a time there. And I thought, Lord, I love the praise. Amen. I love the praise. Lord, you must love it too. So I'm going to praise you because you're the one that saved me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. We ought to praise our Heavenly Father tonight because He certainly is good to us. He has never failed us one time. Well, y'all were singing that song, My Redeemer. Is faithful and true. And I was sitting there thinking about how many times in these 46 years I've failed the Lord. I can't even begin to number all the times. I didn't say that I've faithfully served Him. I said that I failed Him. I can't even begin to count the times I have failed the Lord in 46 years. But my friend, listen to me. I cannot think of one time He's ever let me down. And for me to sit down and not to praise Him. You know what I have done? I'm being honest with you. I've been in churches where I had to do this right here. You say, what was that for? I knew it was out of order in that church to praise the Lord. And I'd sit on my hands to try to keep me from praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, I'd find myself, amen, amen. I'm telling you, folks, we ought to be ashamed of not praising God. When we get to heaven, we're going to be ashamed that we didn't do it here on earth. I'm serious, folks. You say, Brother Danny, I don't want to be a phony. Really? Now listen, this is last night. We're leaving. You don't want to be a phony? What do you think we are if we say we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and we don't praise the one that redeemed us? I think that makes us a phony. I think we're hypocritical. If we say, He's never failed me, boy, He's good to me. He's God of the mountain. He's God of the valley. Oh, He's wonderful. If all that is words and there's no kind of action to it, I think that's a little on the hypocritical side. Amen. You let something happen to us in the flesh, something good happen, and that flesh rejoices. And we don't care who knows it. Some of you are praying for a job. We got that from your prayer request. Amen. You ought to pray for it. But you pray for a job. You get a job, you know what? Woo! Man, I got my job. I got my job. I got my... Wait just a minute. How did you get it? It ought to be, praise the Lord. God gave me a job. Because that's how you got it. It wasn't because of your great resume. It's because God honored you and gave you that. Well, I'm just, listen to me, folks. We don't realize what we miss out on by praising God. If we don't praise Him, you know what? Listen, the tear ducts dry up. Man, I tell you, some of the best times I've had is praising the Lord. I mean, just worshiping Him. I'm not trying to make a show out of it. That ain't what it is. My friend, it is the fact that God is so good. We just can't contain it in our souls. Amen. He's bigger than I am.
Amen.
And so when He gets to moving in my heart, my friend, the Holy Spirit of God, listen, when they're singing about the Lord, singing about, I got so much to thank Him for, and I'm a sitting there, and the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within me is speaking to my heart, saying, you sure do. Remember when? And I get to thinking back, and my, oh, glory to God, I'm telling you what, listen to me, it is a normal and a natural thing for a child of God to get a little excited about his God. Amen. We ought to be a screaming to the top of our lungs. You say, I don't think it takes that. It don't, but you can still do it anyway. Remember, I like to say it, and I'm always saying it, and I'll keep on saying it. You don't have to, but you can.
Amen. Amen.
The flesh says don't do it. You know where the flesh gets the idea not to do it? From the devil. The devil doesn't want us praising God. We've been preaching all this week about Moses giving that invitation to his in-laws and how that we are to give that invitation. Folks, listen to me. If there's no excitement in our life about this place that we're journeying to, it's going to be hard to persuade folks that they need to leave their excitement in the world to to come to a dead, drawn-out walk with Jesus.
Amen.
I'd hate for somebody to knock on my door, and I go to the door, and they tell me they're a vacuum cleaner salesman, and they start telling me all the bad things about the vacuum cleaner they're trying to sell me. And then tell me, probably the one you got's better than the one I've got, but I still think you ought to have this one. It wouldn't take me long to close my door. Amen? That's the way we are about Christ. We tell, oh, I'm going through a tough time. I'm having a hard time. What do you think that does to the lost folks around about us? You're telling them your vacuum cleaner ain't much good. Amen? I'm serious, folks. We don't even stop and think about this. And then we invite them to come and go. I'll tell you, it's a rough life, man. It's a hard way to go. You ought to come go with me. Not going to get any takers. Have you noticed we not been getting any takers? Amen. I believe old Moses was excited when he was telling his in-laws. I believe he was excited. We're journeying to the place which the Lord has said He'd give it to us. Come thou and go with us. We will do thee good. For the Lord hath promised good unto Israel. I believe he was excited about that. My friend, I believe we ought to be excited tonight about the fact, praise God, our sins are under the blood. For us, they're gone. Amen. And the Bible says to never be remembered no more. They'll never be brought up. I know we bring it up. I know the devil brings it up. But my friend, God will never bring them up again. Why? They're gone. They're gone. And man, to know that my sins are gone, that my name is written in the book of life, I say hallelujah, amen, glory to God, and want to shout a little bit about it. Amen. What a blessing tonight, Christians. What a blessing that we have in our hearts and in our souls. Not a blessing we're going to get, but a blessing we already have to know that heaven is our home, that our Redeemer is faithful and true. Amen. See, that's what we look for when we go to the door. And they jump inside there with a vacuum cleaner. They say, let me tell you about this vacuum cleaner I've got. It's the best that there is. There's none like it in the world. I mean, you'll find it will do everything that needs to be done. Listen to me. It makes you want to say, I'll take two of them. Because if one's good, two's twice as good. That's the way it ought to be about us talking about our Jesus. Amen. We ought to be excited about it. And listen to me. Don't you listen to the devil when he tells you in a church service. Don't raise that hand. The Bible tells us to. God tells us to. So why should we listen to anybody other than God? Amen. If we're going to obey somebody, shouldn't we obey him? Amen. And don't be ashamed to holler amen. Don't be ashamed to say praise the Lord. Man, you go down to Alabama, football season's going on and football games are going on. You'll hear them down there, Roll Tide! Roll Tide! Roll Tide! Then they'll be hollering, Go Tigers! That's the other team that's down there. There'll be a hollering at them, Go Tigers! Go Tigers! Boy, there'll be a hollering at, I mean, everybody. They teach, listen to me, they teach their little children to do this.
Amen.
They teach them that. I mean, they'll get their little children, that little boy, they'll get him, or the little girl, they'll get him, and they'll say, Roll Tide. And if they ever go, they'll say, Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Why can't we do that about Jesus? Why can't we teach our children to say, Jesus loves me? Huh? You say, they do in Sunday school. Why can't we do it at home? And then when they say, Jesus loves me, why can't we get so excited? We say, get beside ourselves. Why don't we get beside ourselves and lose control? Say, hey, come here. Did you hear this? Did you hear this? Say it for Miss Cherie. Amen. You know why we don't teach them that? Because they hear us holler Roll Tide, or what do y'all holler for Indiana? Y'all do have a football team, don't you? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Go Colts. See, even the old women, even those ladies back there know it. Amen. Colts, yeah. Amen. They'll hear us say those things. They very seldom hear us say, Go Jesus. Yay, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They just don't hear us say that. We wonder why they don't. Why don't they pick it up? Who are they going to get it from? They ain't going to get it from the TV. Amen. I just want to encourage us folks to learn to praise Him. I mean, to just praise Him. Boy, just don't care. If you don't like it, Brother Tom, then you got to deal with God about it. But hallelujah. Hey, I'm serious, folks. You say, well, I don't want to be offensive. Too late. You've already offended God by quenching the Spirit.
That's right.
He's moving in your heart. Then He tells us to lift up holy hands and praise Him. And we don't do that. That's offensive when God commands us, not requests us, but commands us to do that. He tells us all through the Bible, all through the Scriptures, He says, praise the Lord. Remember Psalms chapter 150? Six little verses in chapter 150. Six little short verses. 13 times in six little short verses, He says this, praise ye the Lord. 13 times in six verses. You tell me it's not important? Somebody else has been making light of it. Because God makes a big deal out of it. And we ought to want to praise Him. I mean, it ought to be our heart's desire to praise the Lord. Amen? Oh, praise God anyway. Well, that was extra. We won't take up another love offering for that. Amen. Open with us tonight. I know it's we've already taken a lot of time and everything, and that's okay. Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. You find that spot, if you will. You stand with us tonight. Listen, I don't mean to scold you, but the Bible says we're to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering. And so that's part of the ministry, folks. Now, I'm not apologizing. I'm not trying to back out of it. I'm just saying sometimes we need that. We need to be encouraged to praise the Lord just like we're encouraged to live for Him. We need to be encouraged by others to praise Him. Amen. And we ought to do it. We ought to be willing to do it. All right? Numbers chapter number 10, verse number 29, the Bible says, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight, Lord, again for your goodness and mercy, Lord. God, I'm not putting anyone down, but if nobody else wants to praise you, God, I do. If no one else wants to lift their hands, Lord, I only may have one in an old nub, but God, I want to be the one that lifts their hands. Lord, nobody else may want to say, praise the Lord. God, even if the whole world chooses not to, I want to be found saying in the ears of the world, praise ye the Lord. I want them to know that I've got a God that's a good God, that works it for me in my life. And I don't mean that disrespectful. I'm talking about, Lord, how that you work daily in my life to bring about your will. I want to thank you. And I'm glad to report to the world I've got the best God there is. Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help us. Dear God, to be mindful of what you've done for us. And instead of sitting back being quiet, Lord, I pray, God, that we'd just let it roll from deep down in our soul, Lord, that it'll just come out. God, that you're good to us. I pray tonight, dear Heavenly Father, as we take a few more minutes, Lord, that you'll preach to us and use us tonight. And Lord, I know we have taken a lot of time. I know the service has been it's not been lengthy yet, but it could be. And I just pray tonight, God, that your will be done and not ours, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord, for we do need help. God, I can't be down on others, for Lord, I need help tonight. I pray that you'd help me tonight, Lord. And Lord, just have your will and way. Do that work of grace in our midst again, Lord. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here again, as we look at the Scripture, I believe Moses is excited knowing where they came from, knowing where his in-laws came from. and what kind of lifestyle they're used to and the situation, circumstances of life and all. I believe as Moses looks at all of that, and then he looks at the journey that they're taking and where it's going to end up, I believe Moses is excited as he says to them, "Come thou with us." I believe Moses was very excited about it. And then it still gets me that he said, "And we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." I believe Moses knew now that God was going to do some good things in their life as life went on. And I get to thinking about that, and it brings me to the scripture we're going to really be preaching from tonight in 2 Corinthians and chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and beginning with verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Now, it's well known that I am a long-winded preacher. I don't make any bones about that. God called me to preach. And since he called me to preach, I preach till he tells me not to preach. And so when I get through, it'll be because God tells me. It won't be because anybody else does. Even with their laughing and joking, it don't bother me. They laugh, joke all they want. I'm still going to preach as long as God wants me to preach. Amen. And everybody's cutting their meetings down from a Sunday through Friday to a Sunday through Wednesday anyway, so we're behind. Okay? We're behind on our time. We don't get near as much preaching as we used to. The old time preachers used to preach about an hour and a half to 2 hours anyway. Amen. And so we cut it short, and now we're paying for it because we don't find very many Christians that are living for God anymore. I think it's because of the lack of instruction. Well, amen. So what I'm saying is we'll be here till Jesus tells us to leave, okay? If you've got something you got to do, we'll see you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Now look over in verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Verse 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now I look at this, especially this verse 17, and I get to thinking about Moses as he's given the invitation in the Old Testament to his in-laws to come and go with them as they journey to that land which the Lord has promised. And he says, "And we will do thee good, for the Lord hath promised good to Israel." I begin to think about that, knowing that God had already told Moses, "Now, I'm going to lead y'all over there to that land that floweth with milk and honey. However, it's going to be a land," and you remember it, and I always make a little funny joke about the Jebusites, the Hittites, and the Amalekites, and all the other ites, you know. And so Moses is very much aware of the battles that's going to have to be fought over there in the promised land. Yet he is saying to them, "Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." Now, how can he say that, knowing that they're going to be leaving their homeland, going to a new land, and here in this new land, they're going to have battles to fight? I mean, God's very plain about it. He lets them know from the very beginning there are going to be battles, because those are your enemies, and there's going to be battles. Why would Moses tell them, knowing this, "Come on and we'll do thee good"? Well, I think, my friend, when we look at verse 17, to me it shines a little bit of light on it. I'll be honest with you. I believe Moses is looking this situation over and saying, even though there's going to be battles there, it's still going to be sweeter there than it is there. Amen. Amen. And so that's the way it is in our lives today as Christians. Now, we're not talking about they're not going to heaven, okay? They're going to that place called the Promised Land, okay? They're going to Canaan land, and we're aware of that. But however, we, on the other hand, are journeying to a whole different place called heaven. Amen for that. So we look at verse number 17. Here's we're gonna try to make it short, and I don't know how sweet it'll be, but we'll make it short and just see what the Lord has for us. But here's the four points I want us to look at tonight. Here he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I want us to look at our afflictions. I want us to look at them. They are sure. They are shallow. They're short. And they're sweet. Amen. Now that's what this one verse says. In this one verse, it tells us that our affliction is sure. They're shallow. They're short. And they're sweet. Now we notice as we start off with it, it says, "For our." Now God is using Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he's telling Paul, here you go, write this down. And so Paul is penning these words, and it's amazing to me that the verses of Scripture, or we would say it this way, the books of the Bible that God has for us, the men that he used, it's like their life was an example to the Scripture they wrote down. Isn't that something? I mean, there's a connection. It's not like Paul is writing about, Old Testament stuff. He's writing about what happened in his life. Anybody knew anything about afflictions, it was Paul. Amen. So it's amazing to me how God orchestrated all this and put it together. Amen. But Paul says, "For our." You know, he didn't use the word "my afflictions." He didn't use the word "your afflictions" or "their afflictions." He used the words "for our light affliction." He's talking about ours. He's saying they're sure. Amen? I mean, Moses is inviting his in-laws to come and go with them, and he's telling them, "We're going to this place over here," but he's also sharing with them, my friend, I believe that Moses let them in on the fact that there's going to be battles over there, but it's going to be better over there than it is over here. Amen? And my friend, listen, what we need to do is understand that these afflictions are sure. We, about every night we've preached, we've mentioned something about our sufferings, our troubles and trials, our heartaches, the persecutions that we go through. Why? Why do we mention that? Why does it seem like that about every preacher, when he preaches, there's always something in the message that comes out about our afflictions or our persecution? Why is it just about all the songs that are written or something about our persecutions? Stop and think about it. I mean, even though they're all about Jesus, what gets us pointed to Jesus is the fact that we have troubles and trials, and he takes care of those things. Amen. And so Paul is saying, "For our." The Bible says it like this in Job chapter 14 and verse 1. "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." We're all going to have troubles and trials. I mean, we might as well set our hat to it. I mean, lost folks have troubles and trials. Lost folks, my friend, they go through afflictions in this life. You say, "Well, what's the difference?" Well, if you'll hang on, I believe this scripture will help you. We're all faced with it. Why? Because the Bible says man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That, when that's talking about man, it's not talking about just saved. It's talking about man in general. Everyone is going to face troubles and trials. Amen. The Bible also tells us this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. If you think because you're a Christian you're getting out of troubles and trials, listen to this. "Yea, all that will believe, or that will live, I'm sorry, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Amen. You see, it's like this. Everybody that's born into this world is going to face troubles and trials. Now, and we trace this back to the Garden of Eden. Sin brought about troubles and trials. For all of humanity, sin brought about troubles and trials. But my friend, listen to me. Then the Bible tells us if we're saved and we live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. We're already going to have persecution because we're mankind. But then when we get saved and we start our walk with Jesus, my friend, we've got an enemy. The old devil. The Bible calls him our adversary, which is the same thing. He's our enemy. He's our adversary, one that goes against, not for. Amen? Right. He goes against us. And so as a Christian, along with the heartaches and troubles, I mean, you'll find, my friend, you'll find people in this world, men and women alike, boys and girls even, that have cancer, saved and unsaved. There's diabetics that are saved and unsaved. There are folks that have heart troubles that are saved and unsaved. Those are general things that everyone seems to have to go through, amen? And I say everyone in the sense that if I don't personally have cancer, someone in my family does, and I still go through it in a sense with them. And so we all suffer these afflictions, but then, my friend, comes the persecution. Then as we walk with the Lord, our enemy is going to make it rough on us. It's not only we got these other problems, but because of our walk with Jesus, our enemy comes along and he tries to trip us up. He tries to put more on us than we can bear. He tries to put situations on us that we cannot What are you doing? Trying to find my way out. He puts us in situations that we seemingly can't find our way out. But being a Christian means this. God gives us the way out. He makes a way of escape. Amen. I mean, see, I was so close to that door, wasn't I? I mean, here I am. Jesus is the door. He's the way out. Amen? So we're going to have these persecutions. We all are. It don't matter whether you lead the singing, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a pastor's wife, or whether you're just someone, and I don't mean this in the sense that it sounds, but someone that comes and sits on the pew, reads your Bible, you pray, you tithe, you're faithful to God. Hey, what I'm saying is it's for all of us. All of us have persecutions. All of us suffer afflictions. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, for our, they're ours. They're things that we must go through. Amen? And then he says this about them. They're shallow. They're not only sure for our, but they're shallow. He says, for our light afflictions. For our light. You say, Brother Danny, you don't know what I'm going through. Now, maybe yours had been light, but you know, let me remind you who's doing the writing here. Paul has. Now, we always make a statement like this. None of us have went through the things that Jesus went through, which is true. But let's just get a little more accurate with this report. None of us have suffered the things that Paul suffered. Amen. Yet he said, our light afflictions. He was including not only ours, but his own afflictions. His times of being beaten down to where they thought he was dead and they left him outside the city. He's talking about the times that they beat him, they threw him into jail. Do you realize these beatings upon Paul are the reasons that he had the thorn in his flesh? It was some kind of affliction that had come upon him, probably caused by some kind of injury that he had gotten from those crowds that would beat him and stone him and throw him into jail and all those things. I mean, he suffered some things. Folks, listen to me. I didn't live in his day. Amen. Now, there's one or two of you that might have, but I didn't live in his day. But I would imagine as Paul is going about persecuting the church, I would imagine Paul's got a zeal about him. And boys, he's going down the road, like on that road to Damascus. Amen. I would imagine, buddy, he was a stepping high and he was going down to get them Christians, bless God. Well, he wouldn't have said bless God, but I'm going to get them Christians. I'm going to persecute them. There's some of them I'm going to put to death. Some of them I'm just going to beat so close to death. I just want to see them suffer. They think their God is so awesome that he's able to. And what I'm saying is, my friend, I believe he had the ability to just about run down the road. But after a few years, just a short time of living for God, I would imagine Paul probably had a limp about him. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't say that. But I'm just saying, I imagine after a while, it was hard for Paul to get around. You say, Brother Danny, why? Because of his afflictions. We call it old age. We think when we get older, I mean, here we are. Boy, we'll hobble in and we'll sit down. Listen to me, the only reason Paul aged the way he did in just a short time was because of the afflictions upon him. It caused the joints of his body to not line up any longer, amen? I mean, they beat him. They stoned him. You can't tell me that man was still, I mean, at the end of his life, the Bible even talks about the fact that he couldn't hardly see when he died. He had to write in such big letters, the Bible says. My friend, you know what happened? Those afflictions. And yet he said, for our light afflictions. How could he say that? You see, I'm trying to tie this back in with Moses. As he's looking the situation over, he realizes those things over there, we'll use that word, they're just going to be light afflictions to the side of what's already been going on over here. What Paul is doing, he is making reference to his afflictions and our afflictions compared to the afflictions that Christ suffered. They're light. Even Paul's, he admitted, they're light compared to the afflictions that Jesus shared and had. Amen? I mean, folks, listen, our afflictions, they're shallow. I mean, we make such a big deal. Don't get mad at me. There's no need in it. It ain't going to help your afflictions anyway. But your afflictions and my afflictions, they're light. Amen? I mean, when you laugh and carry on about the old nub, you know, and I probably have told this story here before, but one day we were at a church, and these two or three women are standing there talking, and one of them had mashed her finger earlier that morning, and before she came to church that night, she had mashed a finger, and it was swollen up, and it was throbbing, and she was standing there telling these other ladies how bad it was. I can't even do anything. Man, I mean, it's just awful. I mean, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like to go through a day that you can't even use that hand. And she's just carrying on about mashing that finger. Now, she didn't mash it off. She just mashed it. And she's just carrying on. And I just walk up and I just stick my nub right in there in the middle of my saber. I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, oh, my goodness, I guess I don't have anything to complain about. Isn't that the way it is? We complain about our afflictions. But if we'll look closer, someone else suffering more than what we are. Amen. I mean, we may be having family problems tonight. But you know what? We could be having burials plans tonight. Stop and think about it. Paul says our light afflictions, they're shallow. Ours are shallow. We make such a big deal out of it. We make, hey, this is the worst thing that anyone could have happen is what's happening to me. Listen to me. Whoa. It's just light afflictions. If we'll learn to look at it through the eyes of Paul, we'll realize our afflictions are light. I mean, we go through some suffering that seems like there's no end to it. It seems like, my friend, that there's no help from it. It just seems like we're stuck in it. My friend, there's nothing we can do about it. But let me remind you, even though all these things may seem true, my friend, the fact is it's still just a light affliction. Not only are they shallow, well, look with me in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 18. Romans 8, 18. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, and verse 18, good southern writing here. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Listen to that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present... He didn't say suffering. He said sufferings. S on there. He said that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Do you realize that when we get with the Lord, when we stand in the presence of the Lord as saved people, my friend, being with our God and He is with us, that's what the Bible says, and we are together there, do you realize the afflictions that we thought were so bad? As a matter of fact, they were just so bad, we even, if we didn't, we considered quitting on God because they were so bad. And now all of a sudden in the presence of God, we look and the glory of God is now ours. Amen. We stand in the glory of God. Amen. And that glory is ours for this time. I mean, now, my friend, it's not the afflictions, but it's the glory of God that we stand in. My friend, and we won't even look back and say, oh, I remember that one bad affliction. We won't even do that. You know why? Because it won't even be worth mentioning. I'm telling you, it's light. It's shallow. And then I noticed something else, my friend. They're short. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. They're short. Boy, how many times, almost got there a while ago when I was saying that, but how many times have we got in a situation, a time of persecution? I don't know. Sometimes I don't think all of it is persecution. I just think it's called affliction most of the time, to be honest with you. I don't know that any of us are living close enough to God to be persecuted for it. I'm being honest. I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. You don't get persecuted just because you're a Christian. You get persecuted because you're an active Christian. Let me put it this way. You don't get persecuted just because you're saved. You get persecuted because you are a Christian. Christ-like. Amen. Boy, but you get in those situations, doesn't it seem like that you get in that valley of despair, and you take another step and you're still in the valley, and another step and you're still in the valley, another step you're still in the valley. You can change direction. It seems like you're still in the valley. This valley just goes on and on and on. And dear God, I don't know if I'm ever going to come to the end of this valley, Lord. I sure need a mountaintop. I need something, Lord. Just get me out of this valley. I'm not going to get out of this valley. I'm stuck in the valley and I can't get out of the valley. Don't we think that? Here's a good southern term. Don't we think that pert near every time? That means almost. That's another Greek term. Don't we about think that every time? I thought that other one was bad, but boy, this one is worse. Pastor, this one is by far the worst one. Well, hang on. The next one will be worse. Seems like that's the way they are, aren't they? My friend, listen to me, but they're just for a moment. You say, Brother Danny, I don't think it's ever going to come to an end. Look with me right quick in the book of Psalms, chapter number 30 and verse number 5. Psalms chapter 30 and verse number 5. Bless you. Psalms chapter number 30, verse number 5. Verse number 4 says in Psalms 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What's he saying? He's saying, go ahead and weep, but it'll just be for a short time. Because joy, it may seem bad tonight. Boy, I remember being a little fella. I had all kinds, it seemed like I always had ear infections when I was a little guy. Had tonsillitis all the time when I was a little guy. It's amazing what God used. After it seemed like something's been destroyed, God will pick it up and use it. Amen? I mean, I'm not even supposed to have a voice to be able to preach with. And Miss Pam, I'll tell you, I'm not supposed to be able to even speak because of the problems I've had with my throat over the years. And yet God not only called me to preach, he put me into full-time evangelism. Now, isn't that something? Amen. I mean, it's not just that I use my voice every once in a while, but it's every night of the week. Ain't God good? And that shows me, my friend, how good our God is. Hallelujah. Amen. But, oh, I remember those days of the ear infections. And, man, I could get up and go outside and play during the daytime. And then at night, I was crying and screaming and hollering because the pain in that infected ear was so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. And after that night was over with, the next day get up and go running and playing, and the very next night be down again. Some of you folks know what I'm talking about. You went through the same thing. Well, it was amazing how you could get up in the daytime running. Have you noticed sickness always seems worse at night? Amen. Well, you think it's, and that night gets so long, you think it'll never come to. Will the sun come up? Will it ever come up again? And sure enough, after a while, it'll come up again. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Danny? I'm just saying, my friend, listen to me. These afflictions are short. when I look at my life now, 65 years of age, if God were to call me home now and I look back, boy, when you line that up with eternity, eternity started way before I did. And 65 years and eternity still goes on. Our afflictions are short. We think they're long and dreary. But oh, I'm telling you what, joy cometh in the morning. Hey, I'm telling you one day, praise God, the Lord is going to say, God's going to say to his son, go get my children and bring them home to me. And Jesus is coming after us, and we're going to leave all these afflictions behind. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me, Moses is saying to his in-laws, come on and go with us. We're going to a far better land than what you're living in now. Amen. The situations there are going to be far better. The blessings over there are going to be far better than what they are here. Hey, isn't that true for us? Praise the Lord. Amen. My friend, I mean, listen, folks, we think it's awful down here. It's just terrible. The things I'm having to go through. I don't know why God's putting me through all this. I don't know why I've got to suffer all this. Hey, listen to me. Don't you know it's for His glory? Amen. Hey, if I know it's for His glory, I figure I can put up with it a little bit more.
Sure. Amen.
It is. It's for His glory. And one of these days, it's going to be all over with. It's short. Not only is it sure, shall, and short, but my friend, listen to me. It's sweet. It's sweet. He said this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, I'm telling you, isn't it wonderful, praise God, that these afflictions we go through, I mean, from time to time, things that come upon us just because we're born into this world, and they come upon us, and we say, boy, this is awful, this, and then we stop and we realize, hey, wait, this is sweet. It's for God's glory. It's for God's honor. Amen. I mean, this is all about God. It's not even about me and my little afflictions. Me and my tough time. It's not about me and my tough time. It's about how wonderful my God is to see me through my little tough times. Amen. And you know what I've noticed? Out of all these years, 46 years of serving Him, not always doing what I should do, but still being His, 46 years, you know what I have found out? That God always sees me through every situation. Amen. You say, but Brother Danny, it seems like my situations don't end. They change direction. They just keep being heartaches and trouble. It don't matter. One of these days it's coming to an end. But it is sweet, praise the Lord. It's sweet to even think that the Lord would consider using someone like me with all of my shortcomings. I mean, He knew all about me. He knew what I was going to be today back yonder when He saved me. As a matter of fact, before He ever saved me, He knew. But I'm saying back there, March 27th, 1969, it wasn't like He said, you know, I'm going to take that old boy. I believe I'd make something good out of him. I believe he's going to turn out to be perfect. No, He already knew I was going to turn out to be just like I am, imperfect. Always needing help. Always running to Him, crying and whining. Amen. Always falling flat on my face. He knew all of that, and He said, but I love Him. Yeah. I just love that old boy. I mean, he ain't got but one hand. He can't do much of nothing. I mean, he's just helpless and hopeless. And if I don't save him, he ain't got a hope one. So God saved me. Hey, hallelujah, I'm telling you. Now, He didn't deliver me from all my afflictions, not yet. I'm still going through them. But boy, they sure are sweet knowing God's still in control. Amen. Every affliction that comes my way comes on God's approval.
That's right.
There's never been a valley that I faced that wasn't ordained of God. God said, yeah, I'll let him go through that. Why? Why would God let me go through it? Because He loves me. Do you not understand it's all because He loves us? He lets us suffer. You say, well, what is that? Because he loves us. Amen. You know what he wants to see in us? He don't want to see a perfect Tom. Amen. And isn't that good? Because he ain't going to see it in us. But he's not even looking for a perfect Tom or perfect you or me. He's looking for someone that reflects back to him, and all he sees is his son through Brother Tom. That's what he's looking for in every one of us. And you see these sufferings and all, you know what they do? They make us more like Jesus. When we go through those sufferings and we come out on the other side of that valley and we're on the mountain and we're saying, praise the Lord. Whoa, God sure is good. Man, he brought me through that valley. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what? That makes us a little more like Jesus. Most of the time we get down the valley, we grumble, gripe, complain, fuss, argue, carry on. And God says, okay, I get it. Here, come on over here. But Lord, this seems to be the same valley. I know you didn't learn anything the last time, so I got to run you through this valley again. It's the truth. I remember being in school. They used to, you could fail a test, and they'd let you take it over. As a matter of fact, they'd make you take it over. They'd give you a chance at it again. That's what the Lord does with our test or our afflictions. If we come through that thing and we haven't looked like Jesus through it, he says, hey, oh, come here. Do it again. I want it to where when you come out on the other side, you look like my darling son. Why? Why, Lord? Why is that so important? Because I love him. Because I love him. And he loves you. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, these afflictions are sweet. If we just realize that Paul is telling us something here in the scriptures that I believe with all my heart, oh, Moses had an idea about this. Even over there, he said, come thou with us, and we'll do thee good. He knew that everybody was going to go through the afflictions. If they stayed home, they're going to go through afflictions. If they go over there, they're going to go through afflictions. But he knew these afflictions over here, my friend, listen to me, they'd have help going through with these. And he said, come and go with us. Christians, don't we realize tonight this journey that we're on is not just your average journey, but it's a blessed journey. I mean, folks, this is, I'm telling you, it is, praise the Lord for this world. Listen to me, and I hope you understand it. Praise the Lord for this world and all the bad junk that's in it. You say, what? That's the hope we have that will make us a real Christian, is having to go through the junk that's down here on this earth. Why? What do you mean? Jesus went through this junk. And God's looking for a reflection of Jesus. Amen. We ought to be thankful tonight that God says, hey, I'm going to put old Brother Larry through this. Amen. We ought to be thankful that God says, I'm going to put Miss Cherie through this. Why? Because he loves us. He wants us to look like his darling son. Let's all stand tonight.